When our core wounds meet the physical world, it offers us the opportunity to heal from the trauma and the emotional wear and tear we have endured in this lifetime. How many core wounds are there to heal? In this podcast series, we will talk about them all: healing the emotional core wounding, including the mother wound, the primal wound, so we can walk in our medicine to be the healers that we all are. Join podcast host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod with her very special guest, Cornelia Stephanie. This podcast is one for the ages, living beyond the core wounds.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast conversation. Wow, we have 11 or 12 episodes recorded so far, and so much more to come. This conversation stemmed from my reading of this book piece, The Flip Side to Anger by Cornelia Stephanie. I bought the book after I had already met Cornelia and started, you know, getting to know her and becoming familiar with her work. And boy, am I glad I did. Cornelia, my friend, hello. Welcome back to this conversation. The last episode was our part two on the core wound of shame. And at the end of the episode, you told me, I want to start the next episode. I have something to say. So.
Yeah, I think my words that I wanted to say, you, Susan, have no idea. I wanted to say that. And then I thought I'd love to shine this out and say this out to everyone. Susan, you have no idea how much I appreciate talking about this work, how much I appreciate having these conversations with you, speaking out this healing, this activation, this, you know, self-realization, this amazing work, God's light, God's love, source's light into the living library, into the Akashic Records, how much I'm appreciating speaking it out on this podcast form. Because as you know, I've done this work myself, for myself, with myself, and periodically over the course of the last decade, I would assist people in healing whatever core wounding was up for them at the time. And this is really actually the first time. That's why I said, Susan, you have no idea. This is actually the first time that bringing all of this work out at one time through the series of podcasts that we are doing by your request. So I'm in so much appreciation for it, because every time when I'm speaking about it later on, when I'm listening to it, you know, whatever you want to call God, whatever you want to call source, whatever you want to call the universe, God is so proud, so proud, so proud of us, so proud. Susan, I mean, you know, it's like, God, it's so good. It's like, geez, you know, it's that good.
It's so good. Thank you so much. And I will say for our listeners, our viewers today, that what happened in the last episode when we were talking about shine, the issue of addiction came out, which changed the entire trajectory of the podcast plan that we had. It expanded it. And I do energy work as Cornelia does. And I can't say how much I agree that our speaking it out, you know, our speaking it out is emitting something extremely powerful. And so in the nature of my business model, I never attempt to imagine numbers any longer. I used to in my old days of wanting to be, you know, famous from the platform. Now I really only ever think about one person. And I know without a doubt that there's going to be one person who listens to that last episode who is going to change their life as a result of this conversation and love that we are sharing with them. Today, Cornelia, we're talking about a very deep, very powerful core wound. The core wound is victim. And so I want to give you this opportunity to get us started today with the core wound of victim. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, with the core wound of victim, I just put this on a piece of paper before we got started. The victim is looking for a savior. You know, that's why it's victim slash savior, right? That is the core wound. So because we're talking about living beyond the core wounds, and living beyond the core wounds means living beyond the victim paradigm, beyond the savior paradigm, and living from the new spiral of the empowered creator paradigm, the empowered creator, which is the opposite of the victim. Because the victim is going to retire the victim and lay down the victim and rise into, which you one of your words that you like using, Susan, rise.
Yeah.
Rise into the empowered creator, which honors the sovereign self, honors the sovereign self. Mm. So, you know, back then when I was clearing and, you know, realizing these core woundings, which was, you know, back in 2011, 12, 2013. So that was quite a while ago back then. I wasn't using the word sovereign self yet at that time. Had I used that word, I probably would have replaced it with empowered creator. I don't know. But for some reason, those words go together now. Because it is the victim in us, the victim in us that is looking for someone to come in and save the day. Someone come in and do something. Someone come in and fix this. Someone come in and do whatever it is that needs to be done. It is that victim that is passive. Maybe even being angry about it, passive aggressive, just sitting there on the fence and not claiming their full inner power through that experience. So victim, the savior paradigm, the savior part, you know, in a relationship, if it's in a relationship dynamic, and if one person is the victim and the other person is the savior, how is that playing out for the new earth empowered reality, empowered creators that we're creating in our earth? How does that play out? I'm asking you, Susan. The victim savior in dynamic relationships, in any kind of relationships.
So the language is in the victim language is that I'm always looking for someone to save me. And/or I'm always wanting to save someone else. So the way this plays out, to answer your question, is what I call being outside of ourselves, always going to the outside, to the other, instead of what we talk about so much in this podcast series on the healing the emotional core wounds, is the going into self. So the victim is someone needs to save me from something, or from all the things, if you're always in victim mentality, or also I need to save someone else. But either way, you're outside of this phrase that Cornelia talks about, which it took me time to process it because it's so foreign to our parlance, to the language of today, which is empowered creator. What does this mean? The empowering, that's easy, creator is me, that I choose, I go back in, I choose to create that which I want, basically. Wow.
Yeah, so basically, when you are feeling powerless, when you're feeling powerless, you know, because again, empowered creator, you're the creator of your reality. I'm not the creator of your reality. Susan's not the creator of your reality. The government is not the creator of your reality. That's really good. You're not. So you're the creator of your reality. And so in any situation, no matter what the situation is, if we're feeling victimized by the situation, no matter what the situation is, there is an opportunity for us to acknowledge the victimhood, release the victimhood, and reclaim our power again. That's all. That's it. It's really that. Acknowledge the victim. Woe is me. Woe is me. Oh my God, right? Woe is me. This is happening to 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 me. And really, woe is me about my life or whatever. So really, and then that narrative, a lot of people just continue the narrative, and it's just a negative toxic spiral where just, you know, recreating that type of environment over and over and over again, being that victim. Well, being a victim really isn't emotionally painful, because I was never, when I cleared the victim core wound out of my body, I never cried about it. I was never deeply in, you know, tears about it, because, you know, being a victim, it's kind of like you're just kind of like cool, you know, because you're waiting for somebody else to fix it.
Yes. Yes.
So, hey, there's not a lot to feel here. Really, it's like, you know, it's really, I'm waiting for somebody else to come in and save the day, just like many people on a religious scale are waiting for Jesus to come back, right? Everybody is saying Jesus is going to come back. Everybody is waiting for Jesus to come back. Jesus is going to come in and save the day. So the thing about it is Jesus is already here. Look inside of yourself, because that's where he is. You know, that's where Jesus is now, in oneness, in you. So Jesus doesn't need to come back. He's already played that role. He's been here already. It doesn't need to happen again, because you are a creator. There is no reason why you can't be empowered from a victim stance and releasing that victim and do it yourself. It doesn't mean you're not going to have help, the help of people, the help of your community, the help of your surroundings. But the key is for you not to feel powerless here and be that victim person to woe is me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so a few things. First of all, for whatever language either serves or blocks, I want to invite people to use the word God or universe, or I sometimes say universal source of all that is. Any way, shape, or form, it's all divine and it's in us. So, but I want to say, you know, you say, does that make sense? I'm like, oh shit, I got to be honest with you, because I want to share and reveal. I lived in victim for a lot of years when I was in my type A, because I would say things to myself like, well, I don't have time for that. You know, my husband used to go to the gym. I'm like, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to work out. Or I don't have time. Time is a big thing. I was victim to time from busyness, being in type A. And I used to tell myself, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the other thing. I don't have time, or, you know, I have to do this, right? So I was victim to saving others by all my volunteer work and all the other things I got outside of myself to do. But now I have to admit, even I don't know that I ever really thought about that till in this parlance, in this language that you're sharing, that I was kind of victim to that, because now I know, after my journey to the light, you know, into higher consciousness, into enlightenment, I made choices at that time. I could have chosen to go to the gym. I wasn't connected to the gym and I didn't know how to do it. But instead of doing X, I could have chosen to do Y. And if I had brought up my values system and everything else, then I might have done both. Maybe a little bit less of both. Maybe I also get to the gym. This is a, you know, a above the surface you know, it's not like deep, just like you said, it's not deep emotional pain.
No,
but I can acknowledge it.
Yeah, because think about it, in the third dimensional reality of the patriarchal system that we have been in, the matrix that we have been born into, raised into, living in, because we're talking about living beyond the core wounding. We're talking about living beyond. So in that core wounding, we have been victims all our lives. We have been living as victims and saviors all our life, because someone is dependent upon us saving them. Someone is going to be the victim and someone's going to be the savior. That paradigm, that narrative that's playing out in that third dimensional construct, matrix, that has been the narrative for so many of us until we rise up out of, one of your favorite words, rise up, rise out of it and reclaim our power. Had you known at the time that you were a victim to time, that you were a victim to your own thought process or whatever, you would have then used that energy to say, oh, I'm not a victim of this. I'm going to rise up out of it and I'm going to change the narrative. I am going to make the time. I know about time and whatever. You would have done it, but you were at that time, I want to just say, unconscious to.
Yes, exactly.
Unconscious to your energy, right? And really there's no judgment to where we're at. It's just a matter of right here, right now is all there is. And right here, right now, we can choose again. But what I want to say about, you know, we've been walking for so long as victim saviors in our old earth, walking around, it's helpful when somebody plays the victim. It's helpful when somebody plays the savior, because guess what? That's going to elevate you to come in and save the day. Always looking outside of ourselves for someone to come in and fix it, for someone to come in and make it right. That's why, Susan, you've heard me say before, when I've taught my partners or the people that are in my close inner circle to hold space for me, hold space, that means witness me, observe me, watch me, and listen to me, but you don't have to fix it. You don't have to take it on, because I got this. And I may not be coming from, and I got this, because first there's an emotional processing energy of, you know, venting it out, getting it out of the body. And then what will you do after that is the point. Because so here's what I want to say about right now to the audience right now. If you're listening to this right now, how do you know if you are in a victim stance right now, or how do you know if you're in an empowered creator stance? It's really about how you feel. Like, are you feeling right now that I got this, I'm an empowered creator, I'm creating my life, I got this, I'm not being a victim, I'm feeling empowered. That's how you know, by where you are, because you're checking in with yourself to see, how are you feeling about this, moving forward in this next level of your life creation. How are you feeling? Some of you might say, I'm not feeling good about it. I'm feeling a little victimized. I don't feel like I have my full power here. I feel like I'm being bullied at work. I feel like I'm being bullied in a relationship. I feel like, I'm being bullied, or I'm not being told the truth, and I'm waiting for them to come and fix it. I'm waiting for them to come and say something. I'm waiting for them, when that's the point, the savior. I'm waiting for them to save the day, to fix it, when really it's about your own self-realization, your own self-actualization, to be empowered in your life and retire the victim. That's the point, right?
Yes, I wrote down, when you said it before, I wrote down fixing things.
Yeah.
And bullet number one underneath was waiting for others to fix things for me, like I was waiting for someone to fix something so that I could get to the gym, for example, because I knew I was supposed to do that. And then under that is, or my fixing things for others. My fixing things for others is part of victim savior. And when you keep trying to fix things for others, often you fail. They don't want it. You don't know what they need. And we're back to the empowered creator, where what you want is for them to know what they need to create it, to do it themselves.
Yeah, because basically what it comes down to is like, do it yourself. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have the witness, you're not going to have the coach, you're not going to have the mentor, you're not going to have the community, you're not going to have somebody that's going to listen to you, that's going to strategize with you, that's going to help you release. I'm not saying that, but it means that you're going to take the reins here. You're going to acknowledge the victim, that you're feeling victim, you're releasing the victim because you want to live beyond victimhood. You are not a victim. You are an empowered, magnificent creator. And that's the spiral you want to walk in. You want to release the victim. I mean, there are many, many, many times where I have felt victim, many times where I have felt like a victim over the years. Once I healed the core wounding of victim, did the victim template show back up at different times? It did. Because again, walking a new spiral, walking as the empowered creator, it took us a lifetime to come to this point. It is also going to take a while to build up a new skin, if you will, a new skin. And so but here's the difference is that in this realization, what I have learned over the years is that when the victim would show itself to me, I remember really quickly, oh my gosh, I'm not powerless here. Mm. Oh my God. It's just kind of like, as a matter of fact, oh my gosh, I'm not powerless here. I can do something. I can fix this. I can take a step. I can release this. I'm not powerless here. This may seem like I have no way out, but I'm not powerless here. So that's one thing. The other thing I want to say, let's just say you're totally feeling victimized right now. And you're totally feeling in the victim and that you really want to be done with it. Let's say you identify with being completely victimized. You really want to be done with it and whatever. So my prescription for that would be give yourself 2 days to have a farewell victim party. And that means completely fully dive into what it feels like to not be able to fix anything, not to be able to do anything, but to be a victim in it. Give yourself permission to fully dive in. Woe is me for a couple of days. And give yourself permission, free rein, to woe is me for 2 days about being a victim in this, right? Give yourself permission to do that. Once you've given yourself a full rein to be that victim, after those 2 days is over, then come back to it and say, all right, I'm done with being a victim now. I felt it all. I saw that nothing happens, that I'm still in the same situation. I felt it all. I'm ready to release it and ready to go. I'm ready to rise as the empowered creator. I'm ready to claim my power in this. I'm ready to be the empowered creator. And then from that day forward, start making empowered choices that reflect your authentic self.
Okay, so first of all, let us know how people can get in touch with you, because this little exercise that you just gave us, people can do it themselves, but I want to let them know that they can also work with you to support them through that exercise. So
the best way to contact me, 360-941-5783. You can text me or you can call me. We'll jump on a call and we'll look at what it is that you want to work out. And then my rates are very reasonable and we'll be able to get you on the schedule and book it for you so that you can, again, rise up, rise out of this.
And
so,
I said this because I know it could be easy, but it might not be easy, and that you are a master facilitator of this. And I've experienced it many times with you. I've hired you myself. I've paid you for this work. And that's why I'm doing this podcast. I'm hosting and sponsoring this podcast. We're talking about this. And so I really want to say clearly that this is something that you can facilitate. Now, let's get a little granular and say, I wrote it down. Here's my notes, friends, for the people who are viewing this video. And here's my little highlighted. It says, I'm not powerless here. Write this down, friends. Take your pen and write down, I'm not powerless here. When you said that, Cornelia, I'm like, holy shit. Like there's all this stuff flowed at me of how powerless we often feel about this and that and the other thing. We feel powerless in the global, you know, structure of the world today, of what's happening, of the global issues, of the horribleness in our world. We feel powerless in community, you know, in the school systems and, you know, even in our neighborhoods and whatever. We feel powerless in our family structures and family dynamics. I can't change him. She's going to still do this. You know, the brother, this, the child that. We feel powerless in our own ability to change our bodies, you know, in our own abilities to change our minds, et cetera. And we are here to share, you are not powerless here.
Yeah, you're not powerless here is an important examination statement, you know, a declaration statement that I'm not powerless here. But, you know, that's why I gave you the full process, my process of what I do, what I've done periodically when I was really feeling like a victim. And, you know, we all have our process. Mine was really subtle because I already, you know, I had already been on the journey and I had already been doing all of this work. And so occasionally then I would suddenly start pouting.
Okay.
I'm pouting and I'm going, oh my God, you know, what is this? This is what I mean by subtle energy, right? It was so subtle that I could barely see it, but I was feeling like I'm not getting something. I'm pouting here. I'm pouting. And that is where it showed itself to me because I'm seeing, okay, I'm pouting now, which to me represents that somewhere I'm not getting my needs met. Somewhere I'm not expressing what it is that I need or what it is that I want. And who is supposed to be giving that to me? No one outside of myself per se, but for me to even acknowledge it for myself. That's always going to be the key. That's why actually having someone that has already gone through the process, this work, helps so much. You know, I have a person that comes to me periodically whenever she is at a lowest point. She comes and she's ready to claim another level of her empowerment. What I've seen in the last, you know, probably 5 years or so since I have known her, 7 years maybe, is I've just seen her grow into an amazing, powerful woman where, you know, now she's at the level of really releasing the codependency, being codependent upon others, which is also another core wound, but being codependent on others so that she can really, you know, trust herself, what she's receiving for her own love, the own self-love that she's doing by not relying on other people to give it to her first, but for her to really claim it for herself. So, but I want to say your self-healing, you are responsible for your energy. You're responsible for your ascension. You're responsible for your self-healing. You're responsible for bringing your physical body up to this next higher vibrational way of living and being. If you want peace on earth, if you want harmony on earth, are you living and acting within harmony within yourself and all the people that you relate with? I want to read this quote from the book. We've read it before on another podcast, but this is perfect again right now because we're talking about victim. So when does the pain stop? This is on page 68. After you clear the core wounds, layer by layer, the pain stops. You move into a neutral space within your being. The wounded child, the one who's been crying for your attention all of your life, has now been loved and nurtured by you. The wounded ego has learned to let go of control and trust the higher self to be led from the heart. The victim, after many lifetimes of dedicated service work and slavery, has now been retired and is now free. The addict is no longer looking for something to numb or fill a void, as the addict has now chosen to fill itself with radical self-love as nothing else will do. The wounded child, the wounded ego, the victim, the addict are no longer playing parts in your movie.
I mean, this is so good. That's on page 68 of the book. We came to the end of this episode, but clearly we're going to do a part two on this discussion. So I'm inviting our friends and listeners to stay with us. We'll be talking about, among other things, codependency. We're going to bring back this idea. Definitely, I'm not powerless here. And we're going to talk up more about fixing things, waiting for others to fix things for me versus can I be in charge? Am I in charge? You know, am I, you know, can I create, you know, my own life as I want it to be? So thank you so much, Cornelia. Another extraordinary conversation. Loving every bit about it. Definitely looking forward to going even deeper in part two of this episode on the core wound of victim savior. So thank you, Cornelia. I'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.